It's a huge week to be Effie. Get into this mega episode as we go to Chicago and Atlantic City and have my brain tested, my skull tested, my mind tested, and have all the spill on the superstars of yore coming into Effie's life and trying to teach him new things. This is Weekend at Effie's, and you're in for a fucking ride this week. Pitar, I just want to say the house looks absolutely lovely.
Thank you.
And coming home, you know, when you come home from the war and your housemate has, put in the effort to make a peaceful, beautiful situation out of everything, it reduces the mental stress that you're going through. I think I'm mentally okay, but I think I'm doing like kind of a mental shorthand. Whereas I'm constantly facing these new sort of struggles and challenges that I'm very quick to go with the flow on it and accept my new reality.
I mean, I was a little surprised when yesterday you said, do you want to record tomorrow?
Yeah, and I think it's better, though, that we just like jump into it. But we are doing today, and this is an apology to our Patreon people and a blessing to our regular listeners. Well, I'm calling this a mega episode because this weekend was very long. There's many things to discuss. And I want to talk about some movies on here. And I want to talk about all sorts of stuff. And I want to just say, I'm bringing you to do some dumb shit with me today.
Yes.
But I'm fully on board with it. And guess what? You know what? Sometimes your former best friend puts a power drill to your fucking skull. And not only are you stabbed with the power drill, but your hair also gets tangled in the power drill, sucked up into your fucking power drill, and then ripped from your head in a very large chunk. And sometimes you have to go, hey, Sonny Moore from First to Last, who became DJ Skrillex, are you still doing that thing or can I? Because there's not really a better option. You know, like, In the male pattern of hair, the hair starts to go back a certain way. And this did not, it didn't add to that portion. It went under that portion and then ripped way more out. So it had to make some hair decisions.
Can you reveal a solution that was brought to your attention as far as what to do about the ripped hair?
Whose solution are we talking about? Was this Missy Hyatt's solution?
No.
Okay. This is great. So one solution was to add extensions to the spot. Okay. But the other solution, which is the best one, which is from a different fucking boy, Jimmy fucking Lloyd, is to put the spray on hair that a pastor would use at a shitty church to just spray a patch of black there as if, you know, I'm just filling in the gaps and no one would notice that there's a large chunk of my hair pulled out there.
Okay, that one's great. That's not the one I'm
talking
about.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the suggestion that you need to go to forhims.com.
Oh my God. Okay, so this is, okay, you're right. So we finish and Alec Price, I love Alec Price with my whole heart. He came out and helped me after the match. You know, he was there for me. I got to meet his dog this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Yo, you got to meet Bear, bro. Everybody loves Bear. Bear's a cute little meat puppy. And Bear is a cute little meat puppy. Bear, I think, was only licking my face because there was blood on it, is my guess. I finish and I pull it out and I'm showing him the large chunk of hair missing. And he did say, bro, you got to try forhims.com and they give you the medicine to grow the hair back. And I go, hey, man, I probably should anyway, right? Like, I'm not paying money to get hair right now. I'm not doing it. I'm gonna go to Turkey in a few years and just like come back John Cena style. You know, everybody was like, he's a little patchy, and then he went there, and now he's a Hollywood star performing his cue humiliation rituals, which is hot. He said, go to forhims.com, and I said, Alec, the hair wasn't lost because it was falling out due to baldness. The hair was ripped from my skull via power drill. It's not just gonna like, here it comes, it's coming right back. Oh, the hymns. But I did talk to someone up at your work and they said that it could cause traction alopecia because it's been ripped so hard out that the roots might not reform. but I think it's already growing back in. Like I can feel the the stubble. And so because of that, we are going to go do my solution, which is we're going to add some permanence to the situation today. So look out for that. It's going to be great.
Two things. I am enchanted by the idea of having your skull run in with a power drill as being a part of male pattern baldness. There's something that happens to every man where a power drill gets applied to their head at some point.
Yeah, eventually the power drill comes along, and that's when you got to start making some hair decisions. When you get the power drill there, and you know, I don't have any control over these things. Things happen. But I just want to say, before we get in too deep, every person that comes to me and says, oh my gosh, your feud with Mance Warner, and they talk about it like it's like we're planning this out. Darling, I have staples in my skull that have now created a lumpy wound. I can't even shave the whole thing right now because it will, like, I don't know how shaving over that scar right now is going to be horrible. And then you saw my back yesterday. Yeah. It is whipped and tattered with, and they keep getting more bruised. I left a Wawa on the way home, and I turned into the door because I was holding my food to open the door with my back, and it was the most painful fucking shit. And I have stab wounds all over my head, and now I have my hair ripped out by the fucking power drill. So the more you tell me this feud is over and awesome and great, the more my physical head is suffering. And so you know what? I'm going to acknowledge the suffering. I'm going to acknowledge what's happening. There's nothing more intense happening in wrestling right now. And I don't want to be a dick today, but I do want to say I watch a lot of wrestling. I see a lot of wrestling. Proud of everyone. You work very hard. I'm putting out a promo today that was at the end of that match that says a little bit about kind of supporting each other and finding friendships and not, you know, running out on your own. But y'all's shit is fucking mid compared to what I am putting my body through. And I said in that interview at the end of 2023 that in 2024, Effie is looking for more believability in pro wrestling, right? And everybody's going, Effie? You mean the touches dick pantyhose boy who's silly and does gay shows? Yes, Effie, who has now added the most goddamn believability to wrestling because it's not believable. It's fucking happening. It's fucking happening to me. I have cursed myself. I said, I think we should see this. And the spirits of the earth go, and you shall show them. You know? How was your weekend, Pitar?
Fine. Fine.
The weather is lovely.
Yes.
But
now,
I also was arguing with you yesterday. I don't like the sun. I don't want to be a part of it. And I say this now. I do like summer, right? Summertime sadness, whatever it is. They took that fucking hour from me. Benjamin Franklin is a fucking loser. I hate Benjamin Franklin. All right, with his stupid little glasses and his tubby vest and his fucking kite with keys on it, you asshole. Fuck you, Benjamin Franklin. Fuck your almanac. Fuck the sky. Fuck the sun. The moon shall be reflective of what the sun gives it, but I shall not be present for the sun to take me out. I'm not squinting anymore. I'm not buying any more sunglasses to lose. I'm not being a part of the sun. Let me fucking live in the darkness. I've been running around saying, Lestat, Lestat, please, God, let me have my tomb. Let me live in the darkness. Dracula 2000, Gerard Butler, please. I'm a night person now. Even at the terminal where we had two of the shows this weekend in Atlantic City, I don't care where the rest of y'all sit. I have a main event room because I'm the fucking main event in my heart and my soul, and I will be in the back with no direct fucking lights on my head. I can't sit in the light all day. I have light sensitivity. All right? I have sound sensitivity too, so shut the fuck up. At one point in the night, we're all hanging out. There's like 10 of us. And I said, everybody has to be more quiet. And it's like, sounds like dad worrying about stuff, but it's just like, I can't hear it all right now. Everybody play the fucking whisper game because the loud sounds, they're messing my brain up. So if you're wondering if I'm like becoming cool and fun to hang out with, no, it's very not fun to hang out with me because I keep getting hit in the fucking head and stabbed in the head. And punched in the head, and screwdrivered in the head, and power drilled in the head. So that's where I'm at. But this wasn't, not everything this weekend was torture. Not everything was bad. But before we even get into that, Can we talk about some films?
Yes.
Patreon.com/weekendateffies or weekendateffies.com. This is something that we would talk about on the minisodes typically.
Mm-hmm.
This is something we would get into on there. And the minisodes are usually a pre-recorded prelude to what we're getting into on here. So you're getting a lot more of these extra thoughts because I haven't organized my brain using the minisode yet. Like usually I can get a little like, we got to get into that and that, and we got to figure this out. But I watched two films last night. The first was the musical movie based on a musical, based on a movie, based on a book, Mean Girls.
Okay.
And I just want to say,
based on the story of the co-host of this podcast's life.
Based on Pushed by Sapphire, based on you being a young Kenyan child who has to conquer Regina George and become your own plastic bitch. Right?
Right.
Right. it was so good.
Have I told you the story about when I was shooting weddings about the bride who was more obsessed with me being who I am than the actual wedding?
I have not heard this, but this is lovely.
Okay, so I used to be a professional wedding photographer a gazillion years ago, and I had a bride who was like, yeah, so I'm getting married on Mean Girls Day. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know that there was a day. And she was like, yeah. And like, explain it to me or whatever. And I was
it's October 3rd, right?
Yeah, I believe so. And I was like, well, did you know that Mean Girls was based on the story of my life? And, you know, I told her where I was from and everything. She lost her absolute mind. And so on the actual wedding day, she's going around and introducing me to everyone. She goes, This is my Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, this is Katie Heron. And then explains
the entire story and just continued to do that the entire day to where I started to notice that the groom was getting just a little bit more exasperated with the whole thing every time it got brought up.
Well, listen, you married her and she got married on Mean Girls Day. I think there's one thing she can discuss all the time. You knew what was coming. And let's be completely honest, all right? Most of these men don't care about the wedding.
Mm-mm.
They don't give a fuck. They just like, look, I'm in a suit. And then that's their profile picture for the next 21 years. And then they'll use it on Grindr when they get bored of her. And you'll go, you don't look like your profile picture because it's a 21-year-old picture of you in a suit at your wedding, taken poorly on your shitty iPhone 10. Right?
Right.
Was that judgment?
Eh.
Did you sing songs or were you not the musical version?
I was not the musical version.
Well, I saw the musical when it came to the Fox Theater, which we were just discussing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
When you went to see Bill Burr, who was having a meltdown over the entry of people 50 at a time, I guess. That's weird. But I bought really cheap seats because they was like, just buy the cheap seats. And we sat in the very back row of the very top with a pillar between us. So I kept having to lean behind the pillar and be like, see? And he was like, this is not good. But the play, very good.
You know, that there's history with that pillar, though.
Really?
That's where they the suspected gays, they would make them sit there just so there was separation.
There was no suspecting. We were gay. Is that true or is this?
No.
Keep those homosexuals apart. It was not a restricted view, but it was like I couldn't. You're not given hand jobs if you get the pillar seat. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a little difficult to pull off. What? Who is this? Yeah. Okay. I got him. You know, it's the season, Pitar.
Yeah.
I got through February, and I knew during February that the energies were soon to shift. And it's not like I wasn't enjoying some parts of February, but the energy was on a different wavelength. And so, like, last year, February, I didn't do show. Like, I did 3 weeks off because I fucking hate February. I think it's a stupid-ass month. And this year, I said, I'm going to just work through it, and I did not enjoy myself very much. And I didn't get a lot done during February except for, like, the shows I did. And now it's like it hit March, and it opened up the whole of my spirit or something, you know? So I feel renewed, but I also think it's because my body and my mind subconsciously knows that after February, shit picks the fuck up. And shit has picked the fuck up. I'm cussing more today than usual, and I partially think it's because of the brain trauma.
Mm.
I don't know.
There's a direct connection to pain relief and cursing.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm in a lot of pain. I keep finding more bruising. Even the shower, like the first shower I took, I was like, okay, it's not that bad. I was really worried how stingy this was going to be right after my hair was ripped out.
Yeah.
But the shower today, the hot water on my back, I thought would be relieving. Not so much because I was whipped. The fun part about wrestling is when they say, you know, it's fake, right? And then you go, I wish it was. I fucking wished with my whole heart it was fake. But I got into March and now it's been very much... there's been the uptick of spirit, but also like I'm looking forward and I'm going, there's a lot to get done in the next few months. And that includes getting to Philly and doing the Big Gay Brunch. And we've announced a few matches for it. Rena Yamashita with the Ultraviolent Championship versus Billy Dixon. You gonna bleed, Billy. Philadelphia. We've announced Sunny Kiss taking on Dark Sheik, which is, for me, like, it's such an obvious, perfect, wonderful match. And we've only been able to secure the building by signing a form promising that Sawyer Rack versus Max the Impaler will not cause severe damage to the building. And I signed that lying in my heart. The main event has not been signed yet. I'm still waiting. And if it doesn't get signed, you're going to hear one of the most angry, pointed rants that you've ever heard on this podcast. But I'm giving it a little bit of time. Until then, though, I'm holding it in, and I'm thinking, and the longer you wait, the worse it's going to be, and I will ruin you. I am not to be fucked with, Peter, and I'm learning that I don't want to be... I'm a very sweet baby, right? Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly. I think I have good intentions. I think I'm kind. I think I'm patient. I think I'm very understanding of people.
You're a Muppet.
What does that mean?
You're good-hearted all the time, but there is a limit.
There's a limit. And I'm close to the limit.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go full piggy.
Every Muppet has the point where they just...
Yeah. I like Kermit snapping and just...
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. what did I see? There's that one meme tweet that's like, the pig is so mean to the lizard. Did you see Elmo Frog?
Yes.
Ooh, the curses. My voice is so gone, I can't do Elmo right now, but just know the tweet I said about being in a match with Effie is like doing a segment with Elmo. You're in our world. You're not in control anymore.
Can you do Alejandro Jodorowsky?
I wonder if it's possible to do this because I think when I see this man across the street, I don't know. Does he know me? Does he have a feeling for me? But then I say, he's the only one who can play him, the Noberon. I'm working on it still. It's still like going into Guillermo territory.
There is a difference.
But yeah, and there's a treble staccato that's more involved with him. And he's a little less slurry on the Spanish. Like, especially when I went to Spain, there's very much the idea of like, no, está raro. Like, you barely want people to understand you're even speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
And a little bit of that is with Guillermo del Toro because he's excited. But with Jodorowsky, it's a little higher and it's a little staccato and it's, I'm working on it. There's details there. I'm thinking, I'm jumping around a lot here and I love it. And this weekend, I did get to see a tattoo of Asmodeus.
Ooh.
Who is obviously the character I voiced behind me in Dead in Paranormal Park. The third book of the Dead India series, the final of the Dead India series, comes out in April. I have it pre-ordered. I'm sure Hamish would send me one for free, but I want to buy the copy and have
you
it immediately
support.
There. And support.
Yeah.
And bigger deal, you know that Asmodeus in the third book is drawn to look more like Effie.
Yeah.
There are more spikes, there's more beard, there's hair, and that shit gets me fired up. But on top of that, I saw the Asmodeus tattoo. I posted a picture with it. So good. So well done. And I don't know if you've ever seen... There's a tattoo artist named Mumbo who does sort of like very bold, very colorful, but almost offset with the layers. Like if you Photoshop move the layers around. So this is done in that style where it's like the hard reds and the colors and everything and bold outline, but then like a little off of the outline.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very artsy.
Yeah.
Very fun. So it got me so fired up. But second to that, not only is Dead in Paranormal Park, which was canceled by Netflix, which is kind of the evil empire, my former employer. We have now won a GLAAD award for the cartoon, and we have now won a British Animation Children's Choice Award.
Oh, my goodness.
Just announced last week. So, yes, Effie, who's the star of both GLAAD award-winning and British Animation Children's Choice Award-winning cartoon Dead in Paranormal Park, is going to finally finish a voice reel with way more examples. Because I think there's a lot of voices I could do. It would be real fun that people don't know about. And I'm not going to go deeper than that, but like, girl, I got some voices in there.
You've done the thing. You are a part of a canceled Critical Darling TV show.
I know. It's incredible. Like, what a moment. And part of me thinks, and this is just like, I don't know if you remember spiritually making a deal with a demon, but I've been getting messages, you know, through my communication with this creature, and the messages are that there's an alternate path for this particular cartoon to continue.
Mm.
And I don't think it's with Netflix. And I think the future is weird. And I think digital media is the answer to a lot of things. But I have a feeling, I can see it, that I'm going to end up back in the booth as Asmodeus again.
Hell yeah.
And we'll see where that goes. But I was very excited to see someone. Not because Clussy, our good friend Clussy, Clown Bussy, who wears the most beautiful, sexy clown outfits to the show, got a full back piece of Effie done.
Holy
shit.
It's
going to be colored in soon. I said, you have to let me come with you so I can sign it with the tattoo gun. And it's me as the Goodbye Yellow Brick Road album art stepping through the Yellow Brick Road into Oz. And it is huge and beautiful and awesome and lovely. And they got to keep a piece of my hair that was handed to them by one of the referees, which I honor that. I was cutting some of this hair off today to clean up the spot for what we're doing later. And I was like, I should keep this and sell it. And I was like, there's enough other hair and this is rough right now. So I'm just going to flush this hair. And it was like flushing gold doubloons down the toilet.
Yeah. You know, Christ metaphorically gave away his body and blood. You are literally giving away your body and blood.
I read the Bible the other night just because I wanted to see what he went through. And the descriptors they give for the torture of Christ, not that detailed, but they did take away his purple robe.
Ooh.
And I also have a purple robe. It's leather with spikes. And I was also whipped like Jesus. And I was also covered in blood like Jesus. And I have been given some information pertinent to what is coming up. Because someone said, oh, the Mance Effie saga is over. They said that Saturday night. And clearly it's not. Because Sunday, I was stabbed repeatedly again to the point where the referee had to call a match off. Because there was so much fucking blood. And it was hard for the crowd to see. Because they got someone out there to cover me up pretty quick. It was so much fucking blood. So we are not done. I've been informed of what the contract is going forward. I am going to be signing it immediately. And, well, I'll see you at spring break. That's what I got to say. I'll see you at fucking spring break. And I got to say, as I'm tortured as a Christ figure in my mind, which a lot of people, they say, oh, they claim to be Jesus. I'm not claiming to be Jesus, right? I am claiming that we're going through some of the same shit. And sometimes I think of the story of Jesus where that woman, he's going through the crowd and the woman touches him.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, who touched me? And she's like, huh? And he's like, who touched me? And she's like, it was me because I have blood disease. And he's like, okay, well, don't touch people without asking them. Like, could you ask me? You know my name. Like, could you be like, hey, Jesus? And I'd maybe turn around. But you just came up and touched me. That's not cool. But also, you don't have a blood disease anymore. And I want that version of Jesus in my heart, which is, hey, I will give you everything. We will all be together. But please ask permission to touch me. And also, I'm being tortured. And also, people want to touch my hand. And that's beautiful. But also, I know how this ends. And let me tell you, Peter, I can't wait for 3 days off. That man worked his ass off, and he finally got 3 days. And they said, where is he? And he said, guys, I was sleeping for 3 days. I was dead. And guess what? I'm back from the grave again. And that's me. And I'm not saying I'm the son of God. I wouldn't want to be. But I am saying that I'm immortal. It's exhausting. And my physical meat form is being put through undue torture endlessly to send me on a path of understanding and of sacrifice for the human way.
Would you say you're Christ-like?
I would say I'm similar.
Similar?
Right. I haven't done a lot of like I'm not bringing anybody back from the dead because I'm not touching a dead person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not like, I'm not killing fig trees because I'm angry at them. God hated figs. You know about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
There was that whole church that I believe that was their slogan, God hates figs.
Yeah, the Suckboroughs, the Suckboro Baptist Church. They hate figs. But I am going to accept this. And you know what? I think Big Gay Brunch is going to happen. I'm assuming. Everybody's going, it's sold out. How could it not happen? Because I have a feeling with the way this feud is going, if what happens, happens, that I will have to be brought back from the dead after this show. Because I keep getting flashes of not on a cross, but of a crucifixion coming my way. And I don't like it. And I don't think it's a metaphorical crucifixion. I see myself crucified in a wrestling ring, and I don't want it to happen. But we're going to see what happens. We're going to see what comes. Come what may. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's go back. Let's start the week. I started Thursday. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself on this either, but I came to you with some news yesterday that began on Thursday because I've been having meetings over a particular tryout situation. I'm going to NXT. No, this is not... Over a particular tryout casting situation that began Thursday. So I landed in Chicago. I got a car and I went and had to wait for this thing to happen. Now, usually Allie lands, I land, we go to the original Pancake House together because it's a really fun breakfast spot. And the one here's a little bougie if you've been, but the one there.
It's over by the Terror, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bougie if you go in.
I don't think I've been. I think I've been once, maybe.
It's the best. But this one is like real old school. And it's 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning, whatever. And it's me and every other table is old guys on their own. And it's me alone. And I was like, I'm joining the crew. I'm up too early. I don't have my partner with me. And I'm here reading the news at the Pancake House. And what did I order? I ordered the full German Dutch baby. Now, they have the Dutch baby, which is a little smaller. I ordered what they call the German pancake, which is the large Dutch baby, and an order of corned beef hash and a hoddle of coffee. Have you ever heard it called a hoddle of coffee?
Maybe.
Like when you just get the whole carafe brought to the table?
Okay, yeah.
We'll have a hoddle of coffee, but it's a carafe, but it's so they don't have to keep refilling it, because you're just like, I'm going to be drinking coffee. I'm going to be here a minute. So I had that, and I just had my solo dolo meal. And then I went to pick up some A-by-10s, and I slept in the car for 2 hours, which is beautiful. But after that, I took this phone call, and it went really well. And it set up for a secondary phone call, Zoom call yesterday, that went exceedingly well. And I did, you know, I'm a big person about don't bang your knee. Don't ever bend your knee to the fucking...
Mm-hmm.
But he did say... No offense to me, but is there any other shirts you have? And I'm just wearing the purple wrestling is gay shirt and I have my headband on. And he's like, do you have to wear the headband? And I said, well, I was scalped by a power drill this weekend. And part of me thinks telling other people about this is problematic, but telling him, he knows pro wrestlers. So he was like, honestly, he told me to say more. He goes, it could be good for the casting. I was like, well, there was a stabbing, and then there were power tools, and there was a whipping of the strap. So it's nice when they're just like, he's doing, yeah, keep talking about that. Yeah, that's fine. It's cool. We worked it out. It was fine. It's going really well. We're going to get news back on that soon. We're going to see, but it could be a fun little side quest.
The little bits and pieces that I heard in the living room through the door were exceptionally funny.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I can't get into too much detail, mm-hmm. but it's working. Either way, we're in Chicago. Allie finally arrives, and I'm thinking the rest of this weekend is going to be physically a mess for me. I just know what's ahead. And I've got to get a gym going. Mm-hmm. So we go to the gym together. We work out. We get a nice little Chipotle meal to hold us over. And then we head to the Emporium Arcade in Chicago for the biggest rematch of Freelance's tag team history, which is GPA and Lainey Luck, the current tag team champions, versus Bussy, a.k.a. Effie and Alley Catch. And who else is there? And who did I get to spend all weekend with? Fucking Danhausen.
Ooh.
Danhausen is back. Now, Danhausen was injured towards the end of last year, and he has returned from injury, but with them paying Okada $4.5 million and Mercedes Moné on the way and the Young Bucks needing so much TV time to do their, like, weird 1960s villain caricatures and... it's just...
Wait, what do you mean by 1960s?
They both grew mustaches and wore suits, and they're like, we're bad people now. Ooh, look at us. We can read a script. We're the Young Bucks, but we're 48. We're young, but we're old. We're struggling. We're being mean because we're bad. It's the corniest goddamn shit I've ever seen in my life. They're technically vice presidents or whatever, because it's like when you're on a TV show for more than a year and they're like executive produced by, and you're like, you didn't do anything, you fucking loser. But basically they bullied Tony Khan into being like, you're an EVP. The EVPs used to be Kenny and Cody and the Bucks. And then Cody left. I don't think Kenny's an EVP anymore. So I think it's like the Bucks and their brothers, and they're like, we're bad boys now. And they used to be like kind of like a mockery clone of like the old Sean and Marty Jannetty tag team, the Rockers. But now they're just sort of like reading cue card script and poorly doing monologues that no one fucking cares about. Mm. And everybody's like, they're doing really good character work. And I go, yeah, nobody gives a fuck. I don't give a shit. I'm not getting into that. But I'm saying Danhausen has not had a lot of TV time since then. And that's okay, because Danhausen is out on the road, taking a few of those independent bookings, getting his legs back under him, feeling the energy, and I got to spend it partially there with Danhausen that night. Now, before I get into the tag match, I just want to say this, okay? How am I gonna... Danhausen did have a special guest. They came to the show, and it was CM Punk. I am such a big fan of CM Punk.
Well, it's like, I understand why this would be a little uncomfortable for you, because how could you stay calm? I mean, you're the biggest CM fan. Punk fan.
I'm such a big fan. You're going to really enjoy this. So there was a moment between me and Phil Brooks.
Uh-huh.
And here's the moment. And he's still got his arm in the sling thing or whatever, because he got injured, because he doesn't. He's doing his best. He's getting there. And, you know, he's over there, and I'm calling my match and doing my things, and I need to go get a water and a Celsius, which they have in the coolers. And Phil has chosen to stand immediately in front of the coolers. And so he's giving some, like, advice, which, like, in my head, the advice was, like, if you want to have a really good match, make The Undertaker carry you at WrestleMania. But I don't know. I didn't hear the advice. And so I walk over. I looked at one guy, and I go, I'm going to have to go move him, aren't I? Because I have to get to the drinks. And I went over and I said, excuse me, guys, can you move? I need to get a drink. And he just looked at me, and then I got my drink and I left. And I don't want to say he's seen the TikToks. I don't want to say he knows that I've changed my heart from thinking, oh, what a fucking loser, to like, oh my God, I'm honestly the biggest fan of all your work and you're incredible. And like, one of the coolest carny moves I've ever seen is saying, fuck this company, suing a company, saying you'll never work for a company again, going to another company, threatening to fight Luke Perry's son because he wants to do glass, getting fired by Tony Khan and the first thing he's ever actually done that's a real job mode, and then going back and going like, remember when I sued you? It's cool. I love you. I'm back. It's cool. And everybody being like, he's fucking back. That's awesome. Huge fan. Carnival people. Aren't we all? But I just had to tell that man to move out of my way. And a lot of people got pictures with him, including GPA and Lainey Luck, which, spoiler alert, was their consolation prize, because who walked out with the motherfucking Freelance Tag Team Championships? Effie, Allie, this is Bussy. It was us. We're the champions now. Oh, it was marvelous. I feel like that's going to get clipped earlier. It's fine. I'm just living with consequence now. I don't care. I've chosen my path. Somebody said the other day, like, oh, are you going to go to AEW? And I was meaner about it. I was like, oh, you want me to go hang out where they hire the 70-year-old admitted sexual assaulter who they pay to sponsor the show? Never in my fucking life. Never in my life. You bad decision-making motherfuckers. Good luck, WCW 2000. Have fun. I need to keep my mouth shut on some things, and I just get fired up. I get fired up. But I've confirmed myself into this month as, and I yelled at AJ the other day because he called me and he was going, why don't you just get a non-wrestling role job in one of these companies? Why do you do that? And I go, you listen real quick, okay? You don't have to understand what I'm doing. You don't have to like what I'm doing. But I'm going to explain to you that whether you want to believe it or not, there is only one Effie right now, okay? And you could go, maybe he's getting an ego. I'm not. I'm just looking objectively at the scene. I'm a legend of the scene. I'm creating a legacy that's never been done before. I'm untouchable. They shall not speak my name without consequence. And I will carve a path that has never been done. And when I'm done here, they will go, I can't believe he even existed. Because I'm pointing out that most of what people think about getting over, getting in, or making wrestling their career is fucking wrong. Go sit at catering. Go ask permission. Go wait around all day in a suit to be told when your 5-minute match is. I'm done. I'm not doing it. They seek out Effie. They ask Effie. Effie says yes, or Effie says mostly no, because Effie knows Effie better than you do. And you don't know shit. Losers. So I had to kind of explain to him that whether you want to acknowledge it or not, whether you enjoy it or not, if you're on this ride with me, you need to trust the ride that I'm putting on. Because I'm not changing. I'm not changing because you want me to go get a 401k. I'm not changing because you think I should stop falling on my head. I'm not changing because there's a fucking power drill in my head. I'm doing all of it. I'm taking all of it in. Do you understand? You understand better than anyone.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No.
I know.
No.
But I'm tired of people coming to me that don't want to put in the effort to understand that I know what I'm doing and that I will find out where this leads by staying on the path. I'm not going to stray from the path now. You know that band? Is that a band?
Yeah.
Are they all alive?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You never know with hardcore bands. I can't remember who's in and who's
they're
out.
They're doing great. They're doing
Ronnie
great.
Radke died. Did you hear that?
Really?
Yeah. He fell down the stairs and couldn't reach his life alert. He's dead. And they found out, you ready for this? This is what's crazy. He didn't even have arms or legs. He was a robot person. And he was actually just like, they would have to push him around in a stroller. The arms and legs were fake, and they would cover it in fake tattoo sleeves and fake pants. But now Ronnie Radke's dead. So sorry to his friends and family. There's only one, and it's the Soraya. So no one else. He didn't have any other friends or family. And they're saying that Papa Roach took a big shit on his casket because he ruined Cut My Life Into Pieces on a piano with his robot fingers. So... R.I.P. Ronnie Radke.
R.I.P.
You can't cancel him, but you can bury him in the ground after he's dead. Sorry you fell down the stairs and tripped over your own robot feet, loser. Was that too much?
No.
Okay. Well, yeah. Don't stray from the path. Stay on the path and commit it all the way. And after this weekend, I'm looking around and going, you know what? Nobody's doing what you're doing. Nobody's doing what you're doing. Nobody would take a power drill to the head. Nobody would take that many lashes. Someone said it was the best strap match they've seen in 32 years. And I read that comment while I was just heaved over in pain and suffering and bleeding, going, well, that's good. That's a great sign. Cool. Oh, I'm glad you really liked it. That's, you know, it's hard to take compliments while you're in that much pain.
This is stupid. Sometimes I get, I don't know, we were talking yesterday about people without, inner monologues or the ability to imagine things.
Yes.
And just how our imaginations tend to work over time. Seeing some of the photos from you in that match this weekend, I just had, for whatever reason, I had this image in my head of 14-year-olds trading those images back and forth, sending those videos to each other, like, this is some legendary, this is like nothing that you have seen before. And this is, yes, like, this is a staple. This is CKY DVDs before Jackass.
Yes. It is raw. It is aggressive. You can barely tell what is real. There is a level of violence. What's crazy is, in our fights, me and Mance Warner, traditionally in deathmatch, there's glass, right? And it's a very common thing. And I had to wade through a lot of glass this weekend that I was not a part of. But traditionally, there is glass. And I have people coming up to me going, y'all have not used a piece of glass. And it's the most brutal thing I've seen in years. And I go, yeah, that's the point. That's what I'm going for. I want you to see that we don't need glass for the brutality, but I also want people to know that if it goes to a higher level, by the time that glass shows up, it will be a fucked situation. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a traditional build of violence that has already gone past the limit of violence. Incredible. I hope they're trading those videos. I get on Tumblr and see some of the GIFs that are going around. And Tumblr's great because you can just download the GIFs to your iPhone. And there are moments from the match that are being clipped out that are severely violent. And I can tell you, I know, because of my wounds. All right, now a brief message from our sponsor. Netflix brings you Millie Bobby Brown in the new film Damsel. I watched Damsel last night. You know about Damsel?
No.
All right, well, Millie Bobby Brown is in a new fantasy movie on Netflix. It's called Damsel. Okay. She plays a woman who's going to get married to the prince. And the prince is played by star of Love, Simon, Nick Robinson, who's kind of going for the, he's like, you know how like he looks away, but then you're like, you see a new boy in town and it's Nicholas Galitzine, who's going to be in the Anne Hathaway movie. And he goes, I want to kind of look more like him.
I'm getting nothing but ads for that movie now.
Yeah,
nothing
well, you're probably in it. They're going to look into the yard. It's going to be you and Lucy looking over. So Nick Robinson kind of has this Nicholas Galitzine thing going now. None of these words are in the Bible. And he's going to marry this girl. And I don't want to spoil everything for you, but she is sacrificed to the dragon tunnel. And she has to find a way to correct history and defeat this dragon. And I don't know her name, but the dragon is voiced by this wonderful Iranian actress who just has the most, like, that's what a dragon talks like. And it's like femme and beautiful and like smoky and, but also like a dragon. Like it's so good. Honestly, I thought this movie was going to be cornball. I can tell a lot of it was shot on green screen. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because Millie Bobby Brown's pretty good at acting. And this was a different role for her than having to play, like, sometimes when I watch Stranger Things and I see Eleven, which is her name in that show, sometimes when she's doing her powers or going through something, I know that she's really good at acting like she has diarrhea because she always kind of looks like she has diarrhea.
Yeah.
Not the case here. She did some sword fighting. She did some running. She did some anger. She did some crying. And at no point was I looking at her going, oh, I think she's going to poop. And that means there's range in the acting and that the Stranger Things people are like, you need to look like you're going to poop, honey. The dragon was great. You know, in the end, everything worked out. Robin Wright is in this. Angela Bassett is in this. It was fun. It was more fun than it should have been. And dragons are so cool. And how often do you get to see girls fight dragons? Right? And the dragon is motivated for the right reasons. You know what I mean?
Gold.
No, they killed her babies. And so now they have to sacrifice these women so that the dragon feels like the sacrifices are equal because they killed her babies.
It's not real, Lucy. It's just not real. A story.
It's just a story. I know. We're never going to kill your babies. We love you. You're our baby, too. Baby Lucy, Lucy. So I really enjoyed that movie, Damsel. Now, the next morning, I left Chicago. I hung out that night with me and Allie and Cole Radrick, and we ate chicken. And it was so good.
No sauce.
No sauce for Cole Radrick, but I had sauce with my chicken. And we watched, Allie fell asleep right away, but we watched a little South Park, and the WWE episode of South Park came on, which I thought was so fitting to the weekend where obviously like the kids are like, we're going to do wrestling. And then he's like, all right, you kids want to learn wrestling? And he's like, I'm going to be the Wild Russian. And he's like, what? No. And then, I don't know. It's a great episode to go into the weekend because it's sort of like, you know, points out the obvious drama being the focus of wrestling. And it was a good thing to see before I left. But I landed very, very early in Philadelphia. And who was there to greet me on my day off? Because Friday night I didn't have any shows. Jim and Jim. Big Jim Lloyd, little Jim Lloyd, father and son, picked me up and I went over to Jimmy Lloyd's house. Now,
Wait, Jimmy Lloyd's dad?
Jimmy Lloyd's dad and Jimmy Lloyd picked me up from the airport.
Damn.
I want to tell you something. Jimmy Lloyd's dad loves me. Now, back in the day, I'm not going to get into it. Okay. There's reasons Jimmy Lloyd's dad loves me. I got to hang out all day at Jimmy Lloyd's house. We watched a bunch of wrestling. Jimmy Lloyd has the most incredible wrestling DVD collection I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I got a little more.
Wait, does Jimmy Lloyd live with his dad?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and his mom. They all live together. Yeah, Jimmy Lloyd's hanging out in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, baby. It's beautiful. It's fun. You know, Jimmy's on the road a lot. He's making the right choice to just like,
totally.
Why not have this as my home base? But also, like, Rina Yamashita will go stay at their house sometimes. Macizos will go stay at their house sometimes.
That's
like,
so cool.
They're cool with it. They're fine with it. They're doing all sorts of stuff. Mom was at work all day, though. So it was just me and Jim and Jim. And every time I would go, Jimbo, they both would turn around, which is very cute. Had a little Wawa lunch, watched a little wrestling. And then Jimmy Lloyd's dad was like, you want me to drive you to Atlantic City? And Jimmy was like, yeah. And he goes, no. And I said, yeah, no. What is he going to do, drive us to Atlantic City and drive home? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, no. So we took the train from Cherry Hill to Atlantic City. Phenomenal. What the fuck are we doing in America? Why aren't there trains everywhere? You know how much the tolls are to Atlantic City in a car?
How much?
$12.
Holy shit.
You know how much the train ticket is? $7. I put all my luggage on there. I took a nap. I rode the train. There was 5 stops to Atlantic City. So it's a very quick train, hour and a half. It would have taken longer in a car to get to Atlantic City. I'm going, what have we been doing? Driving to Atlantic City? What a foolish move when we can take this train straight in. We ran into some other people on the train that we knew. We shared an Uber. We went straight to the showboat.
Could you imagine if you could take a train to the beach here? Just like a train to Savannah.
Yeah, to the beach with casinos.
Yeah.
And just go have fun and then get back on the train.
Yeah.
And it's right at the convention center. Just pulls right in. Here we go. Last stop, Atlantic City. Hop off. Because you don't want the train to go into the ocean unless you get a Atlantic City, Atlantis City.
But what if the train did go in the ocean?
I think we would get to see Kingfish and ask him for his help with his gambling ring in Atlantis. I need people to know I saw Aquaman 2 with you for the third time. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. We didn't discuss that last week. We watched it after, or we paused in the middle.
We paused in the middle
in the middle of recording. So we had...
I did a Wonka rewatch yesterday.
Oh, it's delightful.
Yeah.
Are you a Willy Wonka or a Paul Atreides? I'm asking all gay couples.
It depends on the day of the week.
I think I prefer being a Willy Wonka, but I think sometimes I'm forced into being a Paul Atreides. You know, you feel that way?
Well, isn't Paul Atreides kind of forced to be Paul Atreides?
Yeah, but by the end of Dune 2, he's kind of liking it. You know? He's like, oh, I don't know. Silgar, I don't know. But then he's like, we're going to war. I killed Elvis. Right?
Yeah.
I will take 2 brides. Come back, Chani. We're doing this. sorry. We hung out a little Friday night. Got to see some people. It was good. But Saturday was the zone. And Cole finally got there. Now, Cole, this is crazy to me, went from Chicago, then did a show in Vegas Friday.
Oh, shit.
Then came to Atlantic City. And I was like, this seems like a lot. He goes, it is a fucking lot. And it was a fucking lot. But he won a belt, too, while he was out there in Las Vegas. So now Bussy and Cole Radrick, we all have belts. We're belt champions. We're legendary. I'm proud of us. What a moment. Got it together, had the show that night. Now, we have to talk about one of my special guests that was there. And she will be with the lovely Joey Janela, the bad boy Joey Janela, as he tries to end the reign of terror that all the fans chanted boring and same old shit at, which is Blake Christian as GCW champion. Missy Hyatt will be accompanying Joey Janela, the bad boy, to the ring. Now, Missy Hyatt is a legendary wrestling figure. She's the first lady of wrestling. This is a nickname, but also the truth, because she was one of the first lady valets to come into wrestling and also beat the shit out of people and fight people and hit them with the Gucci bag, like Joey said, and put people on lock and be a star and be gorgeous. And she is still actively coming and helping at Game Changer Wrestling. But in Georgia, a long time ago, she was the manager of Effie. Ooh. So we go way back. And so she started texting me that day, and I got down there and I got to see Missy Hyatt. And what a blessing it is to see Missy again. She is full of life and spirit. It's so nice to have her at shows where everyone's excited to see her. The shows are fun. And she's not really that familiar with deathmatch wrestling. And so she gets to come be a part of like the power and the spirit of this. And who did I get to introduce Missy Hyatt to? Nick fucking Gage.
Ooh.
Now, I'm mixing my days up here, and I'm telling you this because she was there on Sunday. So it wasn't Saturday, but I'm jumping into it. Missy was there on Sunday. It doesn't matter. My brain might be a little oatmealed. But I got to go, Missy, have you ever met Nick Gage? And she goes, well, I've been around him, but he was really in the zone last time. I didn't want to interrupt. And I just said, Nick, come here. I said, do you know Missy Hyatt? He goes, no, but I'd love to meet her. And they introduced and met each other and got pictures together. And it was so cool to get to, like, just see them interact for the first time. She has done a spring break before and been there for other things, but this was the first time they had had a real, true interaction. And what a blessing that is to go, you know what? My good friend Missy Hyatt, my good friend Nick fucking Gage, I'm glad you're together. What a moment. Take some pictures. Make it last forever. Saturday, though, was the dawn of the torture. We've discussed it sort of in the middle of all of this. It was hard. It was tough. I tried to kill Mance. Mance tried to kill me. I told you yesterday, there was a point where I was so in the zone towards the end of the match. I hit a muscle buster. Shout out Samoa Joe, AEW champion. After I roasted him earlier. Threw some chairs. I hit a strap-wrapped curb stomp. He kicked out. I got pissed. I started throwing chairs in from the side. A lot of chairs. I pelted that dumbass with every single chair I threw. My aim, my focus, my anger was all there. I hadn't even been fucking power drilled yet. And my aim and focus was all there. I was in the zone. I'm tossing chairs. Go watch the footage, people. Because I'm tossing chairs and they're nailing. They are nailing this boy right in the head every time. 15 chairs or just throwing them until I felt ready. Superplex through the chairs and he kicks out. I try to set up again. I get choke slammed, and that's when he gets the power drill. And my friends came out, and I saw someone online say, oh, it took five people to beat Mance Warner. Okay. Well, Mance Warner has a power drill, and he ripped my hair out, and my friends came to go, this is a little much, right? There's a limit to where you go, like, you're not even going for a pin. You are trying to drill a hole in my skull. And I think it's okay if your friends come out. And what did they do? They just punched him. They kicked him. Dark Sheik, God bless her fucking soul, did the split and punched him in the dick. And Ali hit the pile driver. And I just continued whipping him with the strap. And then I hit a Rough Rider. And I got a three count. So, Mance, we are one and one. That's a tie. Okay? You technically, we are not one and one because you didn't even beat me the last time. You didn't even pin me the last time. Technically, we are one and none because you left and got frustrated and tried to light me on fire. I have a victory over you. So I think the next step is going to set into motion and let us know that things are going a particular way. Right? I guess technically I'm up. I'm a winner. I'm a champion. I didn't feel like a winner after the match. I was in severe pain. But luckily, my good friend Big Vin, which shout out Big Vin. He just went to Disney World with the family. He's the guy who builds all the structures.
And things. Yeah.
He's also a wrestler, you know, as well. But he had a baby recently, and the baby is growing, and they took the baby to Disney World. And the family is so adorable and so cute. And Big Vin will be building the Punjabi prison for the Punjabi prison match out of bamboo. And somebody was like, I don't think that'll work. And Big Vin goes, bro, this is easy. I can build a Punjabi prison easy. So I'm excited for the greatest clusterfuck show midnight on Saturday at Mania because that's where the Punjabi prison will be debuting at GCW. Either way, Big Vin went and got me some treats, which I think helped reset my mental health a little bit. It was wonderful. And I took the time with friends to make sure I was okay. Took the time with friends to chat and understand what was happening and make sure I could still form sentences. It was lovely. And then Sunday, we had a big tag match. And that was me, Sheik, and Ali taking on Gage, Tremont, and Maki Ito. Huge match. But also, there'd been so much death and destruction that weekend that we just had a kind of fun six-way match. Fun stuff happening. A couple tables, couple chairs. But mostly just chilling, hanging around, doing our moves, trying our best. Me and Nick getting in each other's face, getting a little wild. And Mance interrupted that as well.
Oh.
Yeah. So Mance came out, stabbed me again a lot. Like, repeatedly stabbed me a lot. And thank God Ref Scarlett finally pulled things in and made the determination. Perch got knocked down last night. You know, he's been fucking with refs everywhere. He's been shoving people around. And you know what? Your referee can make the decisions. And Scarlett called the match off and called people out because I was getting stabbed so bad. And I'll tell you what, Nick Gage does not like having a match called off. But I physically couldn't. I didn't know what was going on. All I saw was black and flashes as I'm being stabbed. I have no clue. My head is already sore from the fucking power drill. Power drill is the theme of the episode, I think. It's fucked. And you know what? Honestly, thank you for a little reprieve. I feel tough. I don't feel like a quitter. I don't feel like I would quit. But to have her kind of throw in the towel and go like, this doesn't need to keep happening, it honestly feels pretty good. It feels all right for that to happen. And so thank you, Scarlett, for doing that. Thank you to the people that got out there. It was very rough. I did not make it out for merch after that, obviously. I was having my wounds treated by a lady in the back. This weekend as well, I got to see Abdullah Kobayashi and Ryuji Ito. Me and Ryuji Ito had a match in Corrigan Hall that ended with the splash through the tubes. And Nick Gage also had a match Saturday night with Ryuji Ito. Now, I think this was a multi-man match that ended, finalized with me and Ryuji Ito, if I can remember correctly. It's hard to remember everything. But I remember taking that splash, and I saw that happen. And Nick kicked out of it. Effie did not kick out of that splash. Ryuji Ito is a legend of Japanese deathmatch wrestling and a very cool person to watch on the screen. And it was awesome to see them coming in from Japan. I just got word of when my return to Japan will be. Ooh, so we'll go over that in a minute.
Yeah,
it's going to be a little different trip this time. That's all I'll say. And there's a lot of big news coming for Game Changer Wrestling that I'm very excited about. But in the next few weeks, I'm going to continue my trek. And I'm not going to be back at Game Changer until the Collective. So sorry to those of you in Detroit and Rochester and where's the other place? Somewhere else. I am going to be on other shows this weekend. I'm going Friday to Binghamton, New York for Excite. They just messaged me about doing something. And Saturday, I'm going to be at Smashmaster Wrestling in Throop, Pennsylvania, right outside of Scranton. And Saturday, they have done a combined seminar. So I don't know if you'll hear this before that happens, but I'm very excited to go out and teach again and learn again. And I'm making sure I know my notes well because my brain has not been doing great. Don't worry about me. Please don't worry about me. My mom is very worried about me. She doesn't like seeing these things pop up on the internet. I said, maybe you got to log off, Mom, because it's not going to be good for the next few months. This weekend should be reasonable wrestling, but I don't think I'm going to get power drilled is what I'm saying. I don't think that's what's going to happen this weekend. The weekend after that, though, I'm returning to AIW. Me, Axe, and Smasher, the new Demolition, new Demolition featuring the gay one. I'm the gay one. Leather daddies and harnesses and the gay one. That'll be at AIW in Cleveland. Then I'm going to Corpus Christi, Texas for the Texas Wrestling Cartel on the 23rd. And then on the 24th, I will be at Inspire AD, Inspire Pro Wrestling in Austin, Texas, which people were very excited to hear. Effie's back in Austin. I love Austin, Texas. They've got brilliant meals, Mexican food, barbecue, horchata like you can't believe. It's very good. And then the next weekend, Square Circle Expo. So hopefully I can keep my brain intact because me and Dan the Dad are going to be fighting Mason Mansoor.
Ooh.
At the Square Circle Expo that Friday night. I will be doing a single meet and greet at the Black Label Pro table that day. But then Saturday, all day at the Square Circle Expo, it will be me and Ali as Bussy, the only day that we are together and as Bussy, to do a dual meet and greet where you can get some very unique opportunity pictures with us. It will be very fun. And it will be... a day of no bumping, because the week after that, the day after that is Easter, but my Easter is going to be a week away. So we're not lining them up. And really, Easter's in April anyway. So y'all fix your fucking calendar. All right. I know Jesus didn't follow the same calendar. Oh, there's wounds on my leg. But I got to tell you, if you got the kind of calendar that has your Easter in March, that's not your Easter. The real Easter this year will be when I rise again on the Big Gay Brunch, because I will be getting to Philadelphia Wednesday to face Marcus Mathers at the Intergender Bonanza. And then Thursday, just announced, I think it's the graphic's already out, I'm doing something very cool earlier in the day that I can't discuss yet. I'm not wrestling that day, but I will be doing that, and then I will be at Wale Mania as an official guest. So... can't wait to see Wale. Can't wait to see Emilio Sparks. Can't wait to see my crew out there. I think it's going to be a great time. And then, of course, Friday. Oh, they haven't even revealed me for that match yet. I will be doing something Friday, and then I will be at Spring Break Friday night to do whatever comes up between me and Mance Warner. Saturday morning, though, Big Gay Brunch. It is sold out, and then it wasn't sold out, and then it was sold out, and then it wasn't sold out. And then I think there's like 5 tickets that we just keep opening up GA tickets because they keep letting us know like we've increased capacity a bit. So as many people as I can fit in there, I'm going to fit in there. I'm going to have a lot of matches to announce upcoming in the next week or so. It's going to be very exciting. And let's just say this. It will be the best Big Gay Brunch so far. And don't expect much from me for at least a whole year. I am zooming back and I'm holding myself to it because I don't want to end up committing a Dateline NBC theme story because I have overworked myself. And this is my challenge to everyone else. Billy Dixon has done it. Puyo Del Mar has done it. Jamie Senegal is now doing it. What a blessing. And there are a lot of places trying their best. You know, also your Mateo Valentines have done it. If you think that gay shows have to be run by Effie, you're stupid. Run your own queer shows. Have queer shows. Make them happen. Big Gay Brunch got over. Yes, because I'm fucking cool. I'm sick. I'm a global icon. I'm a superstar. And because I do them and they are consistent and they feature talent that works very hard. Do it. Run a show. Don't complain that Effie's not running a Big Gay Brunch. Don't complain that, oh, we could have one for Survivor Series or SummerSlam or we could have one for this or that. No. You want to have Big Gay Brunch ever again, then you better pray that you still have Effie. And for you to still have Effie, Effie needs to just be Effie. And the rest of you, you have the skill. You've watched me do it. You see what I do. Bake your own pies. Stop asking me for a piece of my pie. Stop telling me that you define yourself by whether or not you were allowed to eat off my plate. Stop thinking that you can tell me how you want your pie served, because you can't. I will serve you your pie. Or, and hear me out, bake another goddamn pie. I would love to taste the pie you've baked. I would love to see the effort you've put in. Because you know what? I don't think it's going to be a bad pie. I've never really had bad pie. And if you bake a pie, whether I get to taste it or not, it's going to feed some people. You're not eating a whole pie. You're going to bake that pie. There's going to be more pie for everyone else. And if you'd like to give me a taste, I'll take a little slice. I love it. I've let you eat all my pie. I've baked as many pies as I could. There are so many pies, I'm turning the oven off. The air conditioning's too expensive. The pies are expensive. I'm running out of pie ideas. So if you want me to ever bake pie again, bake your own fucking pies. And why don't you all look at each other and go, huh, it's really nice to have bookings like this. Why don't we create some of our own? Do not look to me for your guiding light. I will make Philly's Big Gay Brunch the biggest there has ever been. And I will tag out for a second. And I will hope to all of you that you will continue the legacy and do the best. I want to be able to continue doing this in a way that I enjoy it. And I am coming up on a moment where I am running the most interesting feud in wrestling. I am the busiest man on the independent circuit. I am setting a blueprint for everyone around me. And I cannot also scoop everybody up in my fishing net any longer. I have too much in my backpack. You know, in Resident Evil, you got to drop some stuff from your backpack. Mm-hmm. I'm dropping some shit from my backpack. And I'm sorry to everyone that they... No, I'm not. I'm not sorry at all. I've done more than anyone. And I am going to put on the greatest show in Philly history. I'm going to put on the greatest show in Big Gay Brunch history. It's going to be a massive celebration. I'm going to set boundaries for myself that week as to not exhaust myself. Because that's what Emilio Sparks said. He said, I saw you in LA. You looked like you were going to die. I said, yeah, I was. I was going to die. I had put myself all the way to the limit doing those shows. I said, I'm not doing that this year. I'm going to do a couple shows, a couple appearances, a couple signings. Going to maybe show up Sunday to WrestleCon for the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame and do a little signing with Ali at the WrestleCon table. But other than that, take it in. Enjoy while it lasts. Do not tag me and ask me to do brunches places. When you're doing a brunch here, you should do a brunch here. You should do a brunch there. You can't call it Effie's Big Gay Brunch because I own the copyright. I own the trademark. You can't call it Effie because I own the copyright and I own the trademark. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it anything you like. And if you're not featured on this Big Gay Brunch, guess what? It's just a fucking wrestling show. And maybe it's like the rest of your year where you're not featured on anything else either. Maybe there's a reason you're not booked because you're not interesting and you're not fun and nobody wants to see you. Or maybe, and this is far more likely, if I book everyone on a show, it's not a very good show. If you are feeling dismissed, if you're feeling unincluded, if you're feeling uninvited, guess why I created Effie's Big Gay Brunch in the first place? Guess why the first one took place in a shitty building in Indianapolis in the COVID era with me going, I think this will work, because I wasn't feeling included in wrestling and I didn't feel like we were included in wrestling. It wasn't because it was granted down to me by some spiritual nature and I was chosen. It's because I busted my ass to create a door. And if you're feeling left out, then good. I'm glad I sparked you. So go feel not left out by creating your own pies. Go bake some fucking pies. How about that? I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm very excited for the upcoming weeks. I am out of my Februaries and I'm fired the fuck back up. Can you tell?
Yeah.
I'm on my zone.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this. I am a generous God, but I am much like Aslan in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by Cucksuck Lewis. Is that what it's short for?
Uh-huh.
Cucksuck Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Aslan was gentle and kind and wonderful, but there's a limit, bitch. And I'm a fucking lion. And I will not tolerate bullshit. And I will have the most powerful year I've ever had. And I will continue to show people that there's only one Effie. Electric, fantastic, and fuck you. I want to be the first two. I usually have to be the last two. And people will find out that you can't outwork me. You can't outpain me. You cannot get rid of me. You cannot shut me up. You cannot keep me away. You cannot make me bend to your traditions. You cannot get me to admit that I'm not right because I'm objectively experimenting over and over. And the hypothesis is there. And then I see the results repeated over time. And it is now a theory and a scientific theory, not a theory I'm thinking like a literature word. It's a theory in the sense that I have tested it over and over. And I'm not speaking from my own emotional experience. I'm speaking from real life, objective, self-aware, zoomed out viewing of Effie. Effie is fucking correct. Effie will continue to be correct, and I will put all my effort in without killing myself. I don't have to fix everything. I don't have to solve the puzzle. I will do my best. I will come what may. I will worry about my lane. I will help those who help me. And sometimes helping me is just like, buy the seminar. You got questions? Once you pay for the seminar, this is great. Once you pay for a seminar with Effie, I'll answer anything all the time. But guess what? You're not top of my list if you're asking me to watch your match and how do I get over? Because I don't think you're asking just me. I think you're going, he makes a lot of money and he's over. Maybe he'll just tell me. I didn't know where you're at. I didn't know what you're doing. And maybe there's too much to explain to have you actually get to that point. Maybe I've thought more than most people, right? You ever talk to somebody and you go, I think I've had too many thoughts to continue with you. I don't think you've thought enough. Get back to me when you've thought 15 yeah. more years of thoughts.
Yeah.
And then I can get you there.
Yeah.
Either way, My head hurts. My brain hurts. I'm taking PTAR to go get my fucking head tattooed today. There you go. By my lovely friend who did 1, 2, 3, at least 4 of my tattoos.
Hell yeah.
And who now lives in Atlanta, who moved here in June, and who I've been so busy or lazy or stuck during the week that I have not had time to see.
Aww.
And so not only do I want to go get that done, I want to go get food with my boy Luis.
Yeah.
I fucking love Luis. He's wonderful and beautiful and just a kind human being. Have you seen Luis's dogs?
Yes.
Ah!
I love following him on Twitter. Yeah.
Bowser and Ganon, the biggest pretty pity babies. Oh, I remember his first dog, and she was so beautiful. And now he has 2 big pitties. Aww. He's a pity daddy, and I love it. We should, you know, celebrate pit bulls.
Yes.
And they want to cuddle in the bed. That's all they want to do. Yes. They want to cuddle in the bed. Please. And they want to make silly noises. We love you, baby. And that's what I got. So I'm alive. I'm here. I talked to your lovely friend yesterday, and I think we're going to streamline Effie a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to benefit both of us greatly. And I think more and more I'm realizing I don't have to do everything. And it is much better when I don't do everything.
Yeah.
And other people are very good at things. I'm very good at things. I don't have to be very good at every single thing. And if someone else is good at things, we are both going to benefit from it.
Yeah. So don't be like our landlord.
Yeah, dude, what a fucking idiot. He is parked in my parking spot with his shitty fake car that's been sitting in the lot, also parked in my parking spot, mm-hmm. watching people put down gravel and try to fix the basement that has continually been flooding and causing problems. It took him 12 hours to do what? To do what? Nothing. Stand around to suck his fucking thumb. Trip down the stairs without a life alert, bitch. Let me know who owns the house now. I don't care. Do we have questions this week,
PTAR? We do.
Sorry about that. Not anything else other than telling a man to fall down the stairs. Okay, I'm in.
Okay, so first question is from Joshua. If you could take one movie completely out of existence, what movie would that be?
This is a really well done question.
Yeah.
It's The Usual Suspects.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because it's really the only thing that kept Kevin Spacey interesting enough to stay around. And if that movie didn't exist, he would have disappeared and never had the power to assault people.
Ooh, that's good.
And then I could make a movie where you're like, who's Kaiser Soze? But it wouldn't have Kevin Spacey in it. It would have Josh Hartnett.
And it might also kill Bryan Singer's career, too.
Boom!
Damn,
see, I'm a genius. Perfect. What that's about perfect. You, PTAR?
That's tough.
It's very tough. That's but that's really like the first tough. Off my mind that was like consequentially I could handle.
Really interesting question.
Very interesting. Very well thought out. We've never gotten a question like this.
I don't know. I like the Kill Hitler as a Baby version of it that you've come up with.
It's a quick thought thing. It wasn't like I wasn't really
like the consequential like what do you knock out that would what I don't know what got Weinstein successful. Wait, do we have to kill Kevin Smith and Weinstein at the is like Kevin Smith the sacrificial lamb?
Wait,
Ben Affleck is the sacrificial lamb. We have to kill Ben Affleck.
Oh,
and
no,
Good Will Hunting.
Wow.
Let's kill Good Will Hunting.
I don't think it hurts Robin Williams. I think Matt Damon eventually still becomes Jason Bourne. But I think
Ben Affleck goes down, Harvey Weinstein goes down.
And I think Ben Affleck's just a dude with a Phoenix tattoo in Boston who's like, you know, I know Matt Damon. I got a real crush on J-Lo.
But Casey Affleck still gets famous.
But here's the question that's going to fuck you up.
Okay.
Does Gone Girl still happen?
You know what? I'm willing to lose Gone Girl. I'm willing to lose it.
No!
I'm willing to lose it.
Or do you do Gone Girl with a different actor, and it ends up being, wait for it, Sacha Baron Cohen. But as Bruno in Gone Girl. Is that... Oh, I'm Bruno. And I don't know where the girl is gone. She's Gone Girl. Oh.
Okay, this is from Danny. For both of you, what's your favorite crockpot meal?
My favorite crockpot meal? All right, this is going to be a little weird. I have a lot of favorite crockpot meals. Like, I love doing a chili. Yeah. I love doing a Brunswick stew, which is, like, not a chili, but more of, like, a barbecue restaurant, North Carolina, South Carolina staple. But I used to do a Cajun gator boil thing.
Ooh.
Where you mix a lot of, it's like hot sauce and oils and spices and stuff with the gator tail meat with some corn and potatoes and other accoutrement, probably okra in my mind, and you just eat that for a week. I used to get gator meat off the side of the road when I lived in Florida, and there's just a guy who would like, it was like he would kill pest gators and clean them and like had a stand, and it was so cheap to just get bulk gator meat. It's very lean. It's high protein. It's a little different than eating chicken all the time. And slow doing that is great. But I also, my mom used to make like a baked beans beef thing, and she would do the cornbread on top. Like you put the cornbread on top and then steam it all out. And that's really good too. What about you? Crock pot?
A chili.
Chili?
Chili, yeah.
Why don't we make more chili?
We need to make
more chili. We didn't winter our chili out.
No, we didn't.
Oh, I make good chili too, and I just... And it lasts a while, and it gets better as it sits.
Yeah.
Oh, what are we doing? Maybe we'll have summer chili. Summer chili cook-off. Okay, I love it. Have you ever had like a white chili with the chicken and the... Okay, good.
Yes, yes, yes. I think I like it better than regular chili.
Okay, I think we do a white chili then. White chili. That's a springtime chili.
White chili summer.
White chili summer. It's warm, but it's chili. I'll eat cold chili too. I don't know if I should talk about that. I like my beverages warm and my food cold.
Ooh. Okay, this is from Julie. Doing a hunger watch for art research and wondering if cinema buffs are familiar, and if you cinema buffs are familiar, and if yes, how did this movie not come up more in queer cinema discussions? Are we talking Steve McQueen?
The what hunger? Movie are we talking about?
Let's...
I guess I don't. I guess I'm not familiar.
Yeah. Because the first... When I think of The Hunger, I think of Fassbender, Steve McQueen...
I thought you were hunger striking for cinema. Like, that's what I thought was going. Like Steve McQueen. Different one. All I need is a fast machine and someone to take me away.
Wait, this is a David Bowie, Tony Scott vampire movie?
What? I have the hunger.
Okay.
I'm the thin white duke.
Yeah. Susan Sarandon.
Whoa. What year is this? What year are we talking?
This is 1983.
I think we're going to be watching The Hunger very shortly. Says, 1983, Susan Sarandon is hot.
Says that though it received mixed cultural response, the film has accrued a cult following within the goth subculture in the years since its release. Interesting. Okay, we're going to have to watch this.
I bet we can find it on streaming pretty easily.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, this looks horny.
Yeah, I like horny.
Interesting. Okay, well, thank you for the recommendation. We will watch this and follow back up. My cousin Noah was late for his flight. He was packing everything 2x2.
What the hell? We only have room for two. Get out of here.
Okay, that was the original
I love it.
One from Heather. Thank you so much, Heather.
I'm sorry I put my head down, but I think that's a proper response. Yeah. I think that's the right response. Oh. Thank you, Heather. I love you. Miss you.
This is from Gina. What does AJ and Peter think when Effie comes home with staples in his head or something like this with welts and hair patches missing?
Well, you can answer for you.
My first response is never fuck yes. It typically is like a pain empathy response. Yeah. Just ooh.
AJ won't even look at it.
Yeah.
He won't see how it happened.
Yeah.
He won't
I don't blame
look at
him.
My wounds.
Again, he has to, we've talked about this before, but you know whenever they do like the X Games or like the big New Year stunts where they'll have like the guy like go across the Grand Canyon or whatever, you always have nervous girlfriend and they'll like spend a bunch of time on the broadcast like focused on nervous girlfriend.
Like, watch her, watch him die.
And AJ is perpetually in that position.
Yeah, well, could be worse, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not. It might not be worse. My mother, not very happy. I told her, you got to stop following me on Twitter and listen to the podcast every week. But I love her. You know where my mom's going this week?
Where?
For the first time ever to Las Vegas.
Oh.
Her and her friend are going to see Donny Osmond.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm so excited for them. I said, Mom, it's overwhelming. It's crazy. And you're going to end up smelling weed smoke everywhere you go. And she said, I'm ready. I can handle this.
Did Donny Osmond ever get the movie treatment like all those Vegas singers did?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But the Osmond family is a pretty wild mix. And Marie Osmond's still out there. They were doing Donny and Marie, but now it's just Donny. I think Marie was just tired of doing songs.
Yeah.
I don't blame. But he's 70 years old. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's still going out there every night. That's pretty wild. Pretty incredible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to have fun. But she does not like watching any of that. And to the point where she was having her friends text me, like, she is very concerned and nervous to talk to you about this stuff. And I, like, had to call her and be like, Mom, I know. But either don't look at it or trust me, I will be fine. I will live. I appreciate everyone's concern. I also, at a certain point, when it's 50 weeks out of the year, need people to go, okay, you know what? That's his job. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's... You know what? If you work construction, sometimes somebody hits your brain with a nail gun. Okay? It's part of the job, part of the threat. I didn't even know it happened. You know? I'm sure I'll be fine. And you know what you do with oatmeal? You heat it up. So I'm just going to go sit in the sauna and get my brain oatmeal a little heated. Shake it out a little bit. It'll be fine. It'll be good. I got a good brain. Smart brain. What did I say? Did I say it on the podcast already where I said if I got superpowers to be a genius like Professor X, I'd be able to do well on the SAT now?
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't send me above the edge. I wouldn't be like doing telepathy. I'd be like, yeah, I could do basic algebra. It's pretty fun being dumber though. I think I was just too smart. You think too much when you're too smart.
Yeah.
And now you just do.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
You live by impulse and intuition.
Uh-huh.
I think.
Exactly.
What was I saying? I'm just kidding.
Okay, we have one more. This is from Rob. When invited over to a friend's place, what is a good treat or gift to bring? I love that Rob has asked us very considerate questions like, what do I get my mom for her birthday? What do I bring to a friend's house for a present? I love this.
Okay. I think, you know, I don't drink. I think a bottle of wine is like the classic answer.
Yeah.
But I think doing either some kind of sauce or salsa or dip that's fancy where you go, you don't have to participate in it now, but it's something that'll last a while. Hey, here's a sauce I really enjoy.
Yeah.
We should try it on whatever we're eating or having, but now you have it for the rest of the time. Mm-hmm. I think you'll like this. And just getting interesting with it. And even if it's something a little out of the ordinary or weird, you're kind of opening their mind and you're giving them something that's like, this, I don't know if you're going to like this on its own or with something, and I don't know what you like, but it's an addition to things you like. So I think like a fancy sauce or a salsa or a cream or a, you know what I mean? Like a dip, like a something that you can keep in the fridge and use on a lot of stuff.
100%.
Or a big block of a nice cheese.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They got the whole fancy cheese section. I'm not buying that every week, but if I'm going somewhere cool and I go like, look, we got this fancy cheese, maybe you slice a little off and have a taste, but maybe they just have a nice cheese for a little while.
I think it's also the great thing about having like food related hobbies or like things that you can, you know, that's something that you enjoy that you can share with other people. Like I used to make candles in coffee mugs.
Ooh.
And so that's like everyone for Christmas would get a candle and a coffee mug. But it was also great because it was like something I enjoy doing. And then I'm, you know, passing that energy along, sharing it with them. But then it's also easy for when you go, I should really bring something to this person's house for this event that's happening. I don't have any time. Oh, hey, I'm going to grab like the pickles that I've been making. I'm going to grab the jam that I've been working on. I'm going to grab one of the candles that
I like the candle in the mug because they burn the candle for a long time. And then they also get a coffee mug.
Yeah, that's exactly. Beautiful. Exactly.
And you pick out cute coffee mugs.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I was using my grandpa's old candle making supplies, though, because he gave me all of this stuff. Turns out all of it had like toxic lead in it.
So did you, I don't want to assume here, but did you maybe...
I birthed some millennials with baby boomer brains for sure.
You know, they seem to be doing okay, the boomers. All the lead hasn't caused them to mentally unhinge. Oh, wait. Yes, it has. Oh, God. Hold up. I get it. This is a good text message. Are we getting into it? Was that all the questions?
That was it.
Oh, weekendateffies.com. Please support the Patreon. EffieLives.com/merch. I have the Major Bendies up, still at a cheap price, not as cheap as they were, and a bunch of new merchandise and shirts. And please check in the link description. Go to the you have it on Etsy, right? You have an Etsy?
Yes.
Does it still ship out?
It's down at the moment, but we'll be back up shortly.
All right, we're gonna get it up shortly.
Yeah,
we need to sell pictures of Lucy.
I know,
she's so cute.
I know,
gosh, she's so cute.
Cute BB.
Okay, I love you all.